A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi, Herman and Corin. I'd love to talk today about writing and handwriting and a couple of things that I think we can use AI for. Not that we're lacking use cases at the moment, but I found a very helpful workflow that I've been tinkering with over the course of a year now and again. And it's come to work quite well recently with Nano Banana. Now, I'm not in the business of shilling for Google for no reason, but Nano Banana is, as you pointed out, actually the first model that has done text differently. In its image-to-image workflow and text-to-image pipelines, it will take text and use something like character-level fidelity to say, in general, we're going to transform images at the pixel level, but what might work for style transfer or generating an image of a duck, for example, with text we need to treat it differently because it has to look in exactly this geometric shape for it to make sense. And because of that unique approach, it's the only model I've seen to date that doesn't produce pseudotext. Pseudotext in image to text shows up as, we've all seen it, text that doesn't really actually represent any words, or some of the letters are right and the others are just kind of nonsensical. Image to image, you'll start with clean text, and you might say clean up this whiteboard, as we'll get to, and it does the style transfer beautifully. It might crop, it might make it look much nicer, but the text, when you look closely, has some of the characters are garbled. And that's kind of, when you have to go into pseudotext repair, it's already kind of not worth your while doing this, using AI for this workload. So the ability of Nano Banana to do this well has, the use case I found is whiteboard to tech diagram. That's the pipeline that I call it. I'm getting into whiteboarding, so I'll kind of jot down some ideas or write out a quick architecture diagram. But my drawing skills and my handwriting skills are both pretty bad, and they're in short use these days. But even when I used to write by hand regularly, I can't say I was ever a great sketcher or artist. But what I can do is, using Nano Banana, say, this is a whiteboard. It's pretty rough, to put it mildly, but it does show what I wanted to show, and can you create a tech diagram from it? Now, it actually works really well. The text, I'm guessing, is partially by inference, even though it doesn't know my handwriting. All the nuances, it gets it mostly right. And it creates, you can use this to create a much more interesting stylistically diagram. That really is exciting to me, because these are things that you just can't do using mermaid and traditional tech diagram tools. You can actually create something beautiful, and that also is informational. Where this, I think, led me to ask, and where I think this could be taken further, is if we talk about this use case of doing OCR in someone's handwriting. Everybody has a unique hand, and my handwriting, I kind of sometimes do B's in a certain shape, sometimes in another one. But I was thinking that it must be possible, if there is some way to have a LoRA or a recognition layer that you trained it on, maybe, you know, you wrote out a few pages of text and you're able to train an AI model of some sort. Or maybe a layer, because this is, I'm thinking that it would be useful in two senses. Number one, if you wanted to have a AI model that did image to JSON, so you took photographs of notes that you physically wrote in a notebook, and you wanted the model to put out JSON in the form of identifying things like task lists, to-do lists, shopping lists, or just notes, and you'd want reliable text recognition. But this isn't just any text, this is your specific unique form of handwriting. The second one is kind of inverting that a bit, is saying, could you actually go the opposite? If you trained a model on your text, could you use it to say, hey, write this page in my handwriting? The final one, And the final thing that I've been thinking about, this would be pretty cool. And I've seen some tools that kind of do this pre-AI, but it's something like you write out all the glyphs, all the letters in the English alphabet, you scan them, and then it creates a font for your handwriting so you can actually use. And the use cases, some of them are probably pretty shady, and I'm sure there's a bit of a black hat element here. But if I wanted to create an email newsletter and, you know, I wanted to write salutations like, hey, everyone, or best regards, and I wanted to actually mimic my handwriting, that's where this could be a nice touch for personal branding. Not a necessarily a game changer, but cool. Cool in that use case. I think the whiteboarding transformation and the notebook digitization are actually much more potentially powerful. So Herman and Corin, let's talk about how AI tools and Vision AI can be used in order to take our scrappy, sometimes barely legible handwriting and convert us into text with a reliability and accuracy that makes it genuinely helpful.
You know that moment when you've just sketched out a genuinely elegant architecture on the whiteboard, and then you step back and realize it looks like a hostage note written by a caffeinated spider?
Oh, I know that moment intimately. My handwriting was described once as distressed seismograph. I had a professor in grad school who handed back a problem set and said, Herman, I'm not grading this, I'm interpreting it. I feel like I should be wearing a tweed jacket and smoking a pipe.
I've had colleagues politely ask if I could just type up the notes from the session, which is code for, I cannot read a single word you wrote. So Daniel sent us one today that starts exactly there, the gap between the idea in your head and the mess on the board. He's been tinkering with a workflow that uses Nano Banana to take a rough whiteboard photo and turn it into a clean, polished tech diagram. And what makes it work where everything else failed is that Nano Banana is the first image model to treat text as actual geometric shapes instead of just another texture pattern.
Which is a breakthrough. It's one of those things where you see the output and think, well, obviously it should work this way, but nobody actually did it until now. And by the way, today's episode is powered by DeepSeek V4 Pro.
Good to know. So Daniel's prompt opens up three threads, the whiteboard to diagram pipeline, training a custom model to read your personal handwriting for notebook digitization, and then the inverse, generating new text in your handwriting. And the reason this is suddenly viable isn't just incremental improvement. It's that character-level fidelity problem finally got solved.
Right, and the implications go way beyond prettier diagrams. If a model can reliably read your scrawl and render clean text, we're suddenly talking about bridging analog and digital note-taking in a way that OCR never quite pulled off. Let's get into it. The core workflow is beautifully simple in concept. You take a photo of your whiteboard. Messy lines, questionable handwriting, maybe a coffee ring in the corner. Crop it down to just the board and feed it to Nano Banana with something like, create a clean tech diagram from this whiteboard, fix the handwriting, use modern flat design style. And what comes back isn't just a sharpened photo. It's a re-rendered diagram that keeps your layout and your conceptual structure, but replaces your scrawl with consistent, readable typography and cleans up those boxes and arrows.
Which is where every previous model fell flat. You'd get a gorgeous visual makeover, and the text would say, load balancer, instead of load balancer.
And that's the pseudotext problem in action. We'll dig into why that happens in a minute. But what makes Nano Banana's approach fundamentally different from traditional OCRC, or diagramming tools, is that it doesn't extract text, discard your layout, and rebuild everything in some rigid format. Mermaid or Plant UML force you into their syntax and their visual logic. OCR just spits out a text file. Nano Banana preserves the organic spatial arrangement you drew while fixing the rendering. It's a visual translator, not a parser.
This isn't about converting your whiteboard into structured data. It's about making the artifact itself presentable. I think of it like the difference between transcribing a jazz solo into sheet music versus just cleaning up the audio recording. One captures the notes, but loses the feel. The other keeps the performance intact, but makes it listenable.
The sheet music is precise, but dead. The cleaned-up recording still has the breath and the timing, and Daniel's prompt actually opens up three distinct use cases that all flow from the same breakthrough. The first is what we just described, whiteboard to diagram, the one-shot cleanup. The second is more ambitious, training a custom recognition layer on your personal handwriting so you can photograph notebook pages and get structured output, like J.S.O.N., with task lists and timestamps, without ever retraining on each new page.
The third flips the whole thing around. If you can train a model to read your handwriting, can you train it to write in your handwriting? Generate new text that looks like you wrote it. Which gets into font generation, dynamic handwriting synthesis, and some tricky ethical territory.
Personal branding for newsletters, sure. But also, as Daniel noted, some pretty shady forgery potential. We should go there.
But let's start with the technical engine that makes all of this possible. What Nano Banana is actually doing differently with text. Because I think a lot of people hear it handles text better and assume it's just a better trained version of the same thing. It's not.
That difference leads directly into the pseudotext problem, which I want to really get into, because it looks like a minor glitch but actually reveals a fundamental architectural limitation. When Stable Diffusion or DALL-E 3 generates an image, it's working in what's called a latent space. Think of it as a compressed mathematical representation of visual concepts. The model learns that certain patterns of pixels correspond to tree or face or sunset, but text doesn't work like a texture. A letter A isn't a pattern, it's a precise geometric shape where even a tiny deviation makes it illegible or turns it into a different letter entirely.
The latent space just doesn't have the resolution to capture that. It's like trying to represent every word in a language using only vowel sounds. You can get close enough to be recognizable, but the consonants, the precise distinctions, they just aren't in the representation.
The attention mechanism in these models treats text as a visual texture, the same way it treats wood grain or grass. It learns that text regions have certain statistical properties, high contrast, thin strokes, regular spacing, and it reproduces those statistical properties. But it has no concept that the arrangement of specific curves and lines determines whether it says load balancer or load balancer. The model sees them as equally valid text-like textures.
Which is why you get that uncanny valley effect where it looks like text from across the room, but up close it's gibberish. Your brain fills in the gaps at a distance, and then you walk closer, and it's like someone had a stroke mid-sentence.
Here's where Nano Banana's approach gets clever. Instead of handling text through the same pixel-level diffusion process as everything else, it apparently separates text into its own rendering pipeline. The model identifies regions that contain text, extracts what it believes the characters are, using something that functions like an internal OCRR step, and then re-renders those characters as clean, vector-like shapes during the generation process. The text isn't diffused from noise like the rest of the image. It's placed.
It's almost like the model has a font renderer baked into it. But that raises a question. How does it handle edge cases where the text isn't in neat horizontal lines? Like, if I've got a diagram where I wrote database vertically along the side of a box, or I've got text on a curved arrow.
That's where the geometry-aware part comes in. The model isn't just extracting text and slapping it back in a straight line. It's identifying the spatial orientation of the text region, the baseline angle, the curve if there is one, and rendering the cleaned up text along that same path. So your vertical label stays vertical. Your curved annotation stays curved. But the characters themselves are crisp and consistent instead of wobbly.
That's the kind of detail that makes me think someone on the engineering team actually uses whiteboards. They thought about the real-world messiness. Okay, so the model identifies text regions, does something like OCRR, to guess the intended word, and then re-renders. But the OCR step is doing heavy lifting, and it's not just reading, it's interpreting.
Right, and this is where the inference challenge gets interesting. It's not just reading your handwriting, it's using contextual language modeling to disambiguate. If my handwriting is bad enough, the visual signal alone might be ambiguous between auth service and aunt service.
The model knows from context, you're drawing a tech architecture diagram, that auth service is overwhelmingly more likely, so it leans on that prior. This is the same principle that makes modern OCR. Systems work well on printed text, but applied much more aggressively because the model has the freedom to completely replace what it sees with what it infers you meant. Traditional OCR has to stay faithful to the source. Nano Banana's job is to make it look like what you intended, not what you actually drew.
Which is both the superpower and the trade-off. Let's walk through the actual pipeline step by step, because the practical workflow matters here. You've got your whiteboard, you've sketched out a microservices architecture, boxes with labels like A, PI gateway, auth service, DB cluster, maybe some arrows showing data flow. Your handwriting is what it is. You take a photo with your phone.
Lighting matters more than people expect. I learned this the hard way. I had a whiteboard right next to a window, and the afternoon sun created this brutal glare spot right over my database layer. The model interpreted it as me drawing a mysterious glowing orb in the middle of my architecture, which, to be fair, would be an interesting design choice.
The sentient sun component, very cutting edge. But yeah, you want even lighting minimal glare. A shadow across your text can confuse the extraction step. So you take the photo, crop it tight to just the whiteboard area. You don't want the wall, the floor, the coffee mug in frame. Then you feed it to Nano Banana with a prompt like, create a clean tech diagram from this whiteboard sketch, fix the handwriting, use a modern flat design style. What happens next is where the magic is.
The model identifies text regions, does that internal OCR plus context inference, decides you meant API gateway, even though you wrote something closer to AP1J ADWI, and then re-renders the entire diagram. The boxes get straightened. The arrows become clean directional lines. The text lands in a consistent sans-serif font, but the spatial layout, where you put the gateway relative to the services, which services connect to which, that all survives.
That's the key differentiator from something like Mermaid. In Mermaid, you'd have to describe the relationships in code. Here, you drew them. The model preserves your visual thinking. For a lot of people, especially architects and engineers, that spatial arrangement is part of the idea. The proximity of two boxes means something. The model respects that.
I've had whiteboard sessions where the layout itself was the argument we were having. Like, no, the cache sits between these two, not off to the side. That's the whole point. If a tool forced everything into a standardized grid, it would lose that semantic information. The spatial arrangement is the idea.
The trade-off, though, is trust. The model is inferring what you meant, not transcribing what you wrote. If you actually did label something, auth service, maybe it's a family tech project. The model might correct it to auth service and you'd lose that.
Or imagine you're diagramming something with deliberately unusual naming. I once worked on a project where all the microservices were named after dinosaurs. Triceratops handles authentication. Velociraptor is the message queue. The contextual model is going to fight you hard on that. It doesn't know about your dinosaur naming convention.
That's a real failure mode. And it connects to the broader limitation. Nano Banana is optimized for common domains. Tech diagrams, whiteboards, presentations, contexts where the vocabulary is predictable. If you're sketching something obscure or using domain-specific abbreviations, the contextual language model might not have the right priors, and the inference step could go wrong. You need to check the output carefully.
The workflow isn't fire and forget. It's generate, then verify. But for the common case, and Daniel's example of load balancer to web server to cache layer is a perfect illustration. It works startlingly well. You go from a photo that you'd be embarrassed to share with colleagues to a diagram you could drop straight into a design doc.
The speed matters. A good technical diagram in a tool like Lucidchart or Draw.io might take 20 or 30 minutes to build from scratch. This pipeline takes maybe 90 seconds, most of which is you cropping the photo. That changes how often people actually document their whiteboard sessions. I know I've walked away from whiteboards thinking, I'll diagram this properly later, and then later never comes.
That speed difference is what gets me thinking about the second use case Daniel raised. The whiteboard pipeline is a one-shot deal. You clean up one diagram, you're done. But what if you want the model to know your handwriting as a system? Not just infer once, but actually learn how you form your letters, so it can read anything you've ever written or will write.
This is where we cross from image generation into vision, AI territory, training a custom handwriting recognition model on a specific person's script. And the technical feasibility here is actually much better than most people realize. Google's handwriting recognition API already hits above 95% accuracy on clean handwritten text. Microsoft's TAR-OCR model, that's the transformer-based OCR. They open-sourced can be fine-tuned on surprisingly small datasets.
Here's the catch. That 95% number drops to around 70% on messy whiteboard-style handwriting. And that's for generic models that haven't been trained on your specific hand. Everyone's got their quirks. I do my B's one way at the start of a word and differently in the middle. Some letters I connect, others I don't. My lowercase g looks like a drunken spiral.
That variability is the core challenge. The same person writes the letter A differently depending on whether it's at the start of a word, in the middle, next to certain other letters, or just because they were rushing, a traditional OCR. Model sees each instance as a separate pattern. What you need is a model that learns the underlying generative logic of your hand, the range of variation that's still you.
The approach Daniel's describing. Write out a few pages, scan them, train a LoRA or a recognition layer on top of an existing vision model. That's not science fiction. It's few-shot handwriting recognition, and it's an active research area. But how many pages are we actually talking about? Because a few pages could mean 3, or it could mean 30.
The literature suggests you can get surprisingly good results with as few as 5 to 10 pages if you're fine-tuning on top of a strong pre-trained model. The key is that those pages need to cover representative samples, different letter combinations, numbers, punctuation, the kinds of words you actually write. You can't just copy out a paragraph from a book. You need your real writing with all its inconsistency.
That's an important detail. If I sit down and carefully transcribe a passage from a novel, my handwriting is going to be neater and more consistent than my actual meeting notes. The model would learn a version of my handwriting that doesn't exist in the wild. It's like training a speech recognition system on audiobook narration and then expecting it to understand people talking over each other at a bar.
You need the messy stuff. The scribbled margin notes, the crossed out words, the arrows you draw when you realize you forgot a step and have to squeeze it in. That's the data that teaches the model what your handwriting actually looks like when you're thinking, not when you're performing.
The developer case study Daniel hinted at, someone keeping a daily handwritten journal and wanting to digitize it into structured JSON, that's within reach. Write your journal entry by hand in a notebook. Snap a photo with your phone. The custom-trained model reads your handwriting, identifies task lists, extracts timestamps, maybe even tags topics, and outputs clean structured data.
This is where the LoRA approach gets interesting. You don't need to train a whole model from scratch. You take something like a vision transformer pre-trained on general OCR tasks, and you add a small adapter layer, the LoRA, that learns the specific mapping from your glyph shapes to standard characters. The base model handles the heavy lifting of understanding what text looks like. The LoRA just tunes it to your hand.
Which means the training cost is tiny. You could run this on a consumer GPU, maybe even on a laptop. A few minutes of fine-tuning, and you've got a model that knows your handwriting better than most humans do. My wife still can't read my grocery lists. A LoRA trained on 5 pages could.
Now let's flip the whole thing around, because Daniel's third use case is where it gets both fascinating and uncomfortable. Instead of reading handwriting, can we generate it? If you train a model on your script, can you prompt it with, "Write this paragraph in my handwriting," and get something convincing?
There are tools that do a version of this already. Calligrapher.ai and some of the MyFonts handwriting generators have been around for years. But what they produce is essentially a static font. You write out all the glyphs, uppercase, lowercase, numbers, punctuation, scan them, and the tool maps each character to a vector shape. The output is a TrueType font you can install and type with.
That's where the misconception lives. People think they've got AI handwriting generation, but what they actually have is a font that uses their letter shapes. Every time you type the letter A, it looks identical. Real handwriting never does that. Real handwriting has natural variation. Ligatures where letters connect differently depending on context, subtle pressure changes, baseline drift when you're tired.
That's what makes a static font look robotic. It's your handwriting, but frozen, like a single photograph of you making one expression, repeated forever. The dynamic generation approach, actually training a model to produce new handwriting samples, would capture the variation. Your A at the start of a word connects differently than your A in the middle. Your signature has a flourish that doesn't appear anywhere else.
That's where the ethical line gets sharp. A static font has limited forgery potential because it's obviously a font. The letters don't connect naturally, the spacing is too regular, anyone paying attention can spot it. But a model that can generate fluid, convincing handwriting in your style, complete with natural variation, that could produce a handwritten note that even you might have trouble distinguishing from your own.
Daniel acknowledged the black hat potential. Fake handwritten notes. A compromising letter that looks like it came from someone's desk. The legitimate uses are real. Personal branding in newsletters, creative projects, accessibility for people who can't write by hand, but want that personal touch. But the misuse vector is not theoretical.
I think the distinction that matters is consent and context. If I train a model on my own handwriting to generate salutations for my newsletter, I'm consenting to every use of that model. The problem arises when the training data isn't yours. Someone snaps a photo of your shopping list and trains a model on it without permission.
The attack surface is wider than people think. It's not just about someone stealing your handwritten notes. It's about the fact that most of us leave handwriting samples everywhere. A signed delivery receipt, a post-it note on a colleague's desk, a whiteboard in the shared conference room. Any of those could become training data for someone with bad intentions.
Comparing the three approaches side by side, and this is where Daniel's prompt really comes together. You've got Nano Banana for one-shot diagram cleanup. Low effort, high immediate payoff, but it's inferring, not learning your hand. Then you've got the custom LoRA for ongoing note digitization. Medium effort to set up, but once it's trained, it reads anything you've written with high accuracy. And then you've got font generation or dynamic handwriting synthesis for producing new text in your hand.
Each has a different relationship to accuracy. Nano Banana doesn't need to be accurate to your handwriting. It needs to guess what you meant. The LoRA needs to be accurate to your glyph shapes to transcribe correctly. And the generation model needs to be accurate enough to convince, but not so accurate it becomes a forgery tool. It's three different definitions of getting it right.
The sweet spot for most people is probably the first two. Whiteboard cleanup for work. Notebook digitization for personal productivity. The handwriting generation stuff is cool, but it's also where you start needing to think about watermarking, about provenance, about whether the model should embed detectable signals that this text wasn't actually written by a human hand. But if you're sitting there thinking this all sounds great, but where do I actually start? The whiteboard pipeline is the lowest friction entry point.
Take a photo of your whiteboard. Crop it tight so the model sees only the board, and prompt Nano Banana with something like, create a clean tech diagram from this whiteboard sketch. Fix the handwriting. Use a modern flat design style. That's it. 90 seconds, and you've got something you'd actually put in a document.
I'd add one practical tip from my own fiddling with this. If you use colored markers on your whiteboard, red for critical paths, blue for services, green for data stores, mention that in the prompt. Say, preserve the color coding, or use red for the critical path boxes. Nano Banana is surprisingly good at carrying that semantic intent forward, and it makes the output dramatically more useful.
That's a great catch. I've also found that if you've got numbered steps or a sequence, it helps to explicitly say, preserve the numbering, or keep the step labels. Otherwise, the model sometimes treats numbers as noise and drops them.
The notebook digitization path requires more upfront investment, but the payoff compounds. Start by collecting 5 to 10 pages of your actual handwriting, not practice sheets, real notes, the messier the better. Then your options split. If you want the managed path, Google's Vertex AI lets you fine-tune their handwriting recognition models without managing infrastructure. If you're comfortable on the command line, you can take a vision transformer and attach a LoRA adapter locally.
The local LoRA route is where things get interesting for the productivity nerds among us. Once you've got a model that reliably reads your hand, the pipeline to structured JSON is straightforward. Snap a photo of your journal page, run it through your fine-tuned model, and out comes a task list with timestamps, topics, and extracted action items. Your analog notebook becomes queryable.
Think about what that means for something like a bullet journal. People put enormous effort into those, indexing, threading, migrating tasks. With a reliable handwriting to JSON pipeline, a lot of that manual overhead disappears. You write naturally, and the structure emerges automatically.
The thing I'd encourage listeners to actually try is running both approaches side by side for a week. Use the whiteboard pipeline for work diagrams. Use a LoRA-trained model for personal notes. See which one changes your workflow more. The handwriting to JSON? Pipeline in particular, I think that's the sleeper here. Most people don't realize how much friction disappears when your handwritten notes become structured data you can search and act on.
Share what you find. The research community is still figuring out the edge cases on few-shot handwriting recognition, especially for non-English scripts and unusual notation systems. If you're a chemist with custom diagram conventions, or a musician with handwritten scores, your results are valuable data points. This whole space is moving fast, and the tooling is only going to get better as more people experiment.
The one thing I wouldn't sleep on is the verification step. Whether it's Nano Banana inferring your whiteboard text or Alora transcribing your journal, you need eyeballs on the output. These models are good, startlingly good, but they're not infallible. A mistranscribed Launch Tuesday versus Launch Thursday is the kind of error that cascades.
That gets to the open question I keep turning over. Will we see a unified model that can both read and generate handwriting in the same architecture? Right now, these are separate pipelines, recognition over here, generation over there. But the underlying problem is the same, understanding the deep structure of a person's hand. It feels like those should converge.
They probably will. The question is whether the safeguards converge at the same speed. A model that reads your handwriting and outputs JSON is one thing. A model that reads your handwriting and can also write a note in your style. That's a much sharper tool. The ethical guardrails need to be built into the architecture, not bolted on afterward.
I think provenance tracking is going to become non-negotiable. If a model generates text in someone's handwriting, there should be a detectable watermark, something invisible to the naked eye but trivially verifiable. The C2PA standards work is already laying groundwork for this in image generation. Handwriting should be next.
The bigger picture, though, and this is what I keep coming back to from Daniel's prompt, is that the whiteboard to diagram pipeline is just the first visible crack in the wall between analog and digital note-taking. As these models improve, that wall gets thinner. Your whiteboard becomes a first-class digital artifact. Your notebook becomes a searchable database. Your handwriting becomes a font you can deploy anywhere.
The workflow friction keeps dropping. A year ago, this required 3 different tools and manual correction. Now it's a photo and a prompt. In another year, it might just be a live camera feed that cleans up your whiteboard in real time as you draw. You're sketching, and the clean version is appearing on the screen behind you.
The whiteboard pipeline today. The notebook digitization when you're ready. And if you're experimenting with the handwriting generation side, be thoughtful about it. But don't let the ethical questions stop you from exploring what's useful.
Send us what you build. Daniel will probably beat you to it, but we want to see.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for keeping the lights on. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back soon.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.